I remember when I was in Bible school, we took a class on faith, and we studied it, all semester, and at the end you had to write a paper on faith. And of course, everybody's was different, right? And I had a four-page paper, double space, Times New Roman, had to be so many words, and you turn it in, you get graded. And then just a few months ago, I heard that song again, and God says, "Well, the answer to that's real simple, what faith is." And He said, "Faithfulness is when I swore by myself that I made you holy before you were born." So when Abraham was given the promise, he put him asleep and he did all the work for him. And then he said, you were created holy. And what happened then, we were born to all this turmoil and sacrifice in the world. So they started slaughtering sheep and goats and calves and thought that he'd make him happy, but he hasn't wanted that sacrifice or even ours. He's not asking us to sacrifice either. What we need to do is realize that there's nothing we can do that changes who we are or changes who he is. And if it's true about me, it has to be true about my neighbor. That's the hard part. Is that can we look out to somebody who is in trouble or somebody who's done terrible things and see them holy? It's pretty hard. And so we've talked a lot about how that can happen and why that's true, because we're judging in between when we're born and when we leave this world and see that as having anything other than vanity, if everything we do under the sun is vain. That's what makes it of no value. That's hard to take. It's hard to take. But how we calibrate that, how we know it's true, is by understanding what degree or what level that we've been satisfied in our life. A lot of times people say they want to find the will of God, and he sums it up in 2 Thessalonians by saying, "And this is my will, that I be thankful in all things, that we be content where we find ourselves today." And everything you are, everything you ever will be, anything anyone is or will be, has to exist in this moment. Has to be real right now, or it will never be real. Because God doesn't live in time. We do. We judge in time and space. God doesn't live in time. He sees everyone, every person, everyone, complete and whole. And he sees them in. He sees them holding their get out of jail free card right now. That's all he can see. That's all he sees. He doesn't see anything else. We're the ones that see all the ups and downs. So that's good news. I can look at anybody in front of me and I can look at them now and know that Christ is fully manifest in that person. I can know it and withdraw my judgment of them. Right? There's a big key. See, I can't. We were talking, and some people were saying, "Boy, that's a lot. That's hard. How do I not judge anymore?" Well, we can't say that because that will never happen. Your eyes and your ears will always continue to judge. You don't have to believe it, though, but they will judge in some capacity, always. So the answer. Really, the question, I don't want to say this and be rude, but the question, how do I do it, really isn't correct. If we say that, we're not going to get the answer. The answer to that question isn't to stop doing it. That's what I'm trying to say. It isn't stop doing it. And I'm going to talk about how I deal with that. When I wake up each morning, what do I do? So I've got just a short little thing today we're going to do, and I don't know why I put titles on things, just so I can find them, I guess. So, but it was funny, I put this down. It's one of my favorite songs, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." It's the title of this one. And for some reason, I started out by calling it "The Fear of Death." I'm not sure why, but I started out saying it has something to do with the fear of death. So there's a lot of, there's just a lot of focus on the body, a lot of focus, and I'm not too happy with mine, really. I'm not real, you know, I mean, just at this level, I'm not real happy with mine, right? But there's too much focus on it, and as long as I believe that I'm someone who needs to get healed, I'm going to be under the fear of death and subject to bondage. So it's not the healing. It's not, again, it's not trying to get healed or seeking healing that's the problem. It's that I believe I'm someone who needs to get healed. That's the problem. I believe I'm someone who needs to get healed. I believe in this. When somebody thinks that there's something when they're nothing, it says, I'm deceived. And so my faith in that I'm something separate from God that needs something, whether it's healing or prosperity or to get rid of my mother-in-law or whatever it is that I want to do, it's believing in the someone is the problem. So whenever you find yourself in a dilemma, and I'm going to say this more than once, it's not the question that comes to you that fixes the problem. That's a symptom. That you go back and you say, why? Why am I troubled by this? And I've been asking the Father that at night about things because I've struggled with my brothers because I love them. I want them to get along. And now they're getting along. And if I could see that at the beginning, like I said, a month ago, if I could see them getting along today, a month ago, it wouldn't have tormented me. And so I kept thinking, well, I got to fix my brothers. I got to fix my brothers. I got to fix my brothers because I want them to love each other, right? So I kept saying, Father, why am I troubled by this? And he kept saying the same thing to me every night. Not, I didn't do it every night, but it happened 3 or 4 times over a month. I said, why am I troubled by this? It's your judgment. Why am I troubled by this? It's your judgment. Why am I troubled by this? It's your judgment. It's your judgment. It's your judgment. He kept saying it over and over. If you wouldn't judge it, you wouldn't be troubled. Over and over. I kept thinking they were the problem. Right? So that's what I mean. It's always a layer back. If you're frustrated and you can't find your way out, go back another level to find your answer. It's never what's on the surface, ever. It's never what's on the surface. It never can be. You have to do something to fix it. That's works. That means it's up to you, and it's never up to you. You can't do anything to fix anything, and you can't stop judging people. If you try to stop judging people, you're going to turn into a religion. Don't judge yourself for judging people. Realize that it's part of this world. And so how do I deal with that? How do I deal with that every morning? So in this, to back to the healing thing just a little bit. Yes, I do things to make my body feel better and I go to the doctor in ignorance, but I know and rest in the fact that whatever happens, it doesn't matter because it doesn't change who I am. Because it doesn't change who God is, ever. And that sounds irresponsible to a world that's under the law. But it doesn't change reality because reality is changeless. So God doesn't say you're going to have a happy long life in this world. He's not like a doctor who tells you that you've got 5 more years to live or any number for that matter. He says that whoever drinks from this water that I will give him will never die. So we better find out what that water is. And it begins, that water that's pure, begins from withdrawing from my agreement, with the judgment that comes out of me. I just don't agree with it anymore. I don't promote it. I don't try to justify it. I don't try to excuse it away and defend myself and say I never do it. I've just stopped doing that. I just don't resist it anymore. I just let it run its course. A lot of times out there'll be some things that people do or not do and I don't like, and I'm just silent. And it's funny, they never knew it. They never knew it. It was just up here, spinning around. And I love one of Tony's messages about non-resistance, because it really helped me with that. When something comes, don't fight it, because then it has twins. Don't fight it. It isn't right or wrong, right? Because you make a big mess then, right? Then you join in with that turmoil. But our minds and our ears are always going to default towards wanting to judge. Always. But the moment the Father said, it's your judgment, I went, that's right. That's right. And I went to sleep. But it was a couple hours every night. Well, now it's lasting an hour, and lasting a half an hour, and it's lasting less. And it might jump back up if there's another generator incident. It might last a week. That one lasted a week, okay? I called it generator hell, okay? But I know what it is, and I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to say I'm like some kind of squeaky clean guy. I'm just not going to do that anymore. So I confess that to myself when I tell you about it, because I don't want to think I'm somebody that looks good. I don't want to think I'm somebody that looks bad, but I don't want to think I'm somebody that looks good either. And God doesn't tell us we're going to have 20 more years to live. He tells us you will never die if you know who you are. But even that which you know, you'll lose if you never see it. So it's all going to disappear. It'll all disappear. So I rest in that. I was frustrated that my father never knew God the way I did. But that's my judgment of my father. That's my judgment of him. He doesn't know anything about any of that now. Not a thing. And so I should be okay with him being gone. But when people leave, we act just like the Hebrews do. Not quite as bad. But we were taught all that behavior from Hebrewism, from Christianity. Oh, someone, they left too early, or they got in a car accident, or someone got shot, or whatever it is. So if I find myself in a place where I don't feel good, or I'm frustrated, or my body's preaching to me and telling me, you know, you're going to die, and all this, I think, well, what of it? What does that really mean? Is it going to bring me into a place of unbelief then? Am I going to follow that and trust it? And then I say, no, thank you. No, I'm not going to follow it. So when we find ourselves in this dilemma or in anxiousness, we begin to ask questions. I don't like to come up with patterns, but what I can tell you, what we said just a little bit ago, is that almost always the question that comes to me is the wrong thing. The answer to that question never fixes it, ever. Which is normally, I need this or I would like this to be changed. When I find myself in anxiety or worry or frustration, so the judgment thing does seem overwhelming because there's so much of it. And so we want to know how to stop it. So we'll never stop judging the world if we try to stop judging the world. It will never work. And like I said, you'll have twins then. it becomes resistive then. And so that never works. That's why it seems overwhelming when you go there. Because if that would work, then the world would already be transformed. So what do we do? And I don't want to sound facetious, but really initially the answer is nothing. Don't do anything. Don't resist. Just let it take its course and listen and say, Father, this is what I always say, Father, in what way am I thinking incorrectly? Why am I concerned about this? Why am I anxious about this? Why am I worried about this? Why is this troubling me? Why? Not how do I stop it, it's why is it troubling me? If we could get past living for the moment and looking for a sign and wait, there's this peace I've gravitated towards that I feel. It's just a feeling that I get. And so I go to sleep at night, and that's usually when I carry little pieces of hell with me to bed. And I'm in there, you know, thinking about them. They're spinning away, you know. I wish this person would do that or this. And you know, we have a lot of staff, and sometimes it's difficult because we love them and we want them to understand how to do things or whatever it is, right? It's usually always people. But so, you know, I'll get to bed okay, and then I dream intensely all night. It's intense. I'll dream bears are chasing me, or I'm chasing somebody, or it depends, if we watched a movie or something. I mean, it's super intense. I'll have two or three dreams, two or three episodes. So when I wake up, a lot of times I'm somewhat disheveled. You know, it's sort of like, you know, being in a fight and you're staggering. You know, I say, oh, what's real? But we're waking up into a dream. We're waking up into a dream. And I realize, and I say to myself, you know, nothing's out of order. There's nothing out of order. I just think it's out of order. Normally because I'm desiring something that I'm not at peace with in that moment. That's the cause. And sometimes, you know, there might be times you might have to suffer with that for a while. It's not fun. But what I have to face, and we've talked about what I do in my business, if I try to get my arms around all the details, I couldn't do it. I couldn't deal with it every day. And so I go in, before I go into work, I know and I'm convinced that nothing's out of order. And I've got all the wisdom I need today to deal with whatever comes in front of me. And I'm excited about it. I'm starting to get excited about the difficulties, the apparent difficulties that come flowing in. Because just on the other side of the hard thing is always something very sweet, very encouraging. Just on the other side of it, I find something there that encourages me. So time, space, is something that holds us down. We think something needs to happen, something in the future. And in Revelation it said, and I swear by him, that liveth forever and ever. So eternity has got nothing to do with the million plus a million plus a million years. Eternity is entering into a place, eternal life is entering to a place where time stands still. It doesn't matter anymore. We don't measure by it. So Jesus said, time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel of peace. So when we're at peace, when we're content, time doesn't matter. We're normally not in a hurry. We're normally not anxious. We're normally not trying to do something. And I'm not saying you sit around and don't do anything. I mean, I'm not in a hurry to do anything. I'm not anxious to do things. I just go about my day enjoying the day at a level that is becoming more and more content for me. And that's, I don't think that's a secret, but I know it's working for me. And I can enjoy things then. I don't watch the clock as closely, although I have appointments all day. But I know if an appointment cancels or something, I go too long or something, it just all seems to work out okay. And there's a lot less judgment. So that's, I guess that's some of the answers to some of the specifics. Probably the biggest thing I found that's helped me the most is realizing what I first think is a fix to my problem is never it. It's never the answer. Most of the time, I don't want to say that's always the time, but all the time, but most of the time it's not the answer. And that's been pretty fail-proof for me. So, that's all we've got for this afternoon. I think we'll just be still a little while longer and then we'll be done.